there's a lot of things that this pandemic revealing, I think, about holes or disparities in the system. Do the pharmacists feel that the employers kind of have their backs?
But it's an incessant, intense, routine drip, drip, drip that we experience.
So we want to think about solutions that kind of look at all these together.
This is Over the Counter, a podcast from Drug Topics. I'm Gabrielle Entile. In this episode, we'll be talking about professional burnout in the pharmacy, the many factors that lead to and intensify burnout, and what impact the COVID-19 pandemic might be having on rates of pharmacist burnout. So what is professional burnout? Experts generally define burnout through three aspects: 1, physical and emotional exhaustion; 2, depersonalization; and 3, one sense of autonomy and personal accomplishment.
Yeah, it's typically measured along those lines. And individuals who are feeling a lot of exhaustion and a lot of disengagement tend to have, you know, higher burnout scores. And the professional fulfillment part is something that you would want them. Sometimes they think that could mitigate some of the burnout, but they usually measure all those kinds of things when they're looking at the topic of burnout.
That's Caroline Gaither, a professor in the Department of Pharmaceutical Care and Health Systems, University of Minnesota College of Pharmacy. Dr. Gaither is co-author of a national survey of pharmacist burnout and engagement, which was presented at the Midwest Pharmacist Workforce Consortium. Here's Dr. Gaither again to explain the results of that survey.
Pharmacist workloads, they're telling us that the workloads have gotten higher, and the staffing has decreased, and that has increased, you know, their feeling of job stress and also influenced their satisfaction levels. So that has been another thing that we think has also contributed to some of these levels of exhaustion we've seen with the workforce study.
John Schaumer, a study co-author and a professor in the Department of Pharmaceutical Care and Health Systems at the University of Minnesota College of Pharmacy, explained that making sure pharmacists avoid burnout isn't enough. Pharmacists should be able to grow and thrive in their professional environment too.
And then in addition to burnout, which is something that you would like to avoid, we also do research in the area of what's called well-being, and that's being able to have constructive conditions at work and beyond, even in your personal life, that enable workers to thrive and achieve their full potential. So we're looking at, let's avoid burnout in some of the dimensions of that, but let's also look at are healthcare professionals able to thrive and achieve full potential?
Matthew Witry, co-author of the survey and an assistant professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice and Science, Division of Health Sciences Research at the University of Iowa College of Pharmacy, said to keep in mind the complexity of these factors, individual and systemic, that become burnout.
It's hard to disentangle these elements. So, like, if you're incredibly exhausted because of a setting issue that's leading to exhaustion, you know, that might prevent some of that personal accomplishment, you know, ability. So, you know, a lot of these things are going to interact. You know, the depersonalization might be, you might see more of that if you're already emotionally exhausted, you know, so all these things are going to interact.
Here's Dr. Gaither to shed some more light on these interconnected factors.
National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine have been kind of focusing on this issue for clinician burnout. And they've developed this model that I really do like. And it talks about how, you know, you have frontline workers, and then you have these frontline workers, the health providers, who work for a particular healthcare organization who has different policies and procedures. And then there's also the external environment, so the things that are happening outside. And all of those things influence the provider who is providing care. And so they've talked about these work system factors. And those work system factors are things like your job demands. So like, what is your workload? How many hours are you working? And then there's this idea of resources. And one of the things they talk about in terms of resources is how much control you have in your job. So those kinds of things are really influenced by the workplace and the system that you're working in. And they talk about if there's a good balance there, then the health provider is able to really thrive and do their work. But when the job demands become too high, then that's where you can get into some of the more negative consequences. Now, the other piece of that is they say that these work system factors are also influenced by kind of the individual. So how much resilience that person has, how, you know, their ability to cope with adversity, and also how much their, you know, work and life are integrated. So those things also kind of filter kind of their job demands. And then depending if they're positive or negative, that can influence the burnout or the fulfillment that the health provider feels. So I like the model because they've really started to talk about these system factors that are beyond what the individual provider is able to contribute, and talk about burnout is not necessarily related to some kind of individual failure, but it's really related to kind of the way the work environment is structured. And that has...
So Dr. Gaither mentioned that corporate-owned chain pharmacy environments where business decisions are out of pharmacists' hands and workloads are increasing, those large companies are at risk for potentially burning out their pharmacists. But what about community pharmacies?
We're seeing in community pharmacy practice that there's this great stress to conveniently and quickly and efficiently distribute medications. And that whole business model is changing.
Improving pharmacy business models are vital for keeping pharmacists from burning out and staying in business. An estimated 2,000 pharmacies have closed since 2018, many located in regions of the United States that are home to vulnerable populations, where their first point of care is often their local pharmacy. Another non-negotiable way to minimize burnout and help pharmacists find fulfillment at their place of work is to address the system factors at play. As Dr. Gaither, Dr. Witchery, and Dr. Sharmer all mentioned, burnout is mainly a product of the healthcare system factors that get in the way of true fulfillment for medical professionals. Dr. Sharmer explained that pharmacists are experiencing increasing pressure not just to be fast and efficient, but to be faster and more efficient in an increasingly competitive and instant delivery world.
In community pharmacy practice, you know, the distribution of pharmaceuticals is so vital, and you have to have that pressure on you all day long to be as efficient as possible. At the same time, community pharmacies are being recognized by the public, by government agencies such as CDC, et cetera, as healthcare access points that you can get vaccinations and immunizations and screening and point of care testing. And there's a lot of patient care and public health services that are being provided. So you put those two goals together. And as Caroline was saying, work systems get very complicated and it's very difficult to do both within the same space. And so we're finding.
And while pharmacists might be willing to take on these additional responsibilities to support their patients and provide the best care they can, these burnout factors, exhaustion, depersonalization, and lack of a sense of autonomy and personal accomplishment, as well as these system constraints, can make it impossible, especially during a pandemic.
But a lot of the things that I've been hearing and reading have been talking about this idea of moral injury, where the health providers want to be able to do certain things, but they're not able to because of other kind of constraints within the organization. And that really affects how they can really work to the best of their ability. So some of the things that I've heard about in pharmacy, you know, they've talked about, you know, do pharmacists get PPE kinds of masks and things like that, because they need it as well if they're going to be giving vaccinations and doing some of the services that the pharmacists typically do. What happens if your staff in the pharmacy gets, you know, ill with COVID-19? What are the procedures? The CDC has put out some things around that. And then the other thing that I think a lot about is, you know, you're also serving people who have chronic illnesses anyway. And, you know, can they get their medications? Are they afraid to come to the pharmacy? Are they still being taken care of in this situation? So I think there's a lot of things that this pandemic is revealing, I think, about, you know, some of the holes or disparities in the system. But I think the other thing, some of the pharmacy benefit managers cutting some of the reimbursements. And I mean, this is not the time to cut reimbursements or do things that can, you know, inhibit the abilities of the pharmacist to do different tasks. And so that is something too that I'm hoping. I hope that these reimbursements and the way that pharmacists and other health providers are reimbursed does not get short shrift in this environment.
Dr. Witry gave us an example of just how complex burnout factors can be, especially during the pandemic. He explains that while a pharmacist may be emotionally and physically exhausted from working longer and more frequent shifts, and might experience depersonalization from having to provide care to patients from behind a mask and a plexiglass guard, they might also feel elevated levels of personal accomplishment for being able to assist their patients when they need them most.
If someone feels that their employer isn't providing a safe environment, or you're interacting with patients who aren't taking this seriously, you know, I would imagine that that's going to be a significant source of anxiety. You know, on the other hand, a lot of pharmacists are probably feeling, you know, really appreciated and that they're making a difference, getting that care to people, you know, being that access point, answering important questions, you know, being a source of care when, you know, people aren't going to their primary care physician appointments. You know, they can still call their pharmacist, or they can still, you know, talk to the pharmacist, you know, across the plexiglass. You know, the pharmacists are still in that position, especially in the community setting.
There are also other potential issues that the COVID-19 pandemic can bring to the surface too, like hoarding medications and administering vaccines.
As we move forward in the future, there will be new things. There's some evidence that patients are becoming very acutely aware that there could be drug shortages due to the pandemic and the effect on manufacturing around the world, and are starting to consider hoarding and stockpiling medications so that if it runs out, that they would have a supply. There's a lot of anxiety for our patients that we help. And then also, what kind of role from a public health standpoint would pharmacists play when a vaccine is discovered and developed, or there's treatments being provided? There's a whole new set of things that pharmacists will be looked to provide. And that requires change and updating our work systems and our processes of care. And again, that all creates the opportunity or the possibility that pharmacists will experience stress and burnout through this.
But the experts are hopeful that the COVID-19 pandemic will open up the opportunity for improving pharmacist care and addressing healthcare system shortfalls.
It opens up new opportunities for pharmacists to do really what we're called to do, and that's take care of our patients.
We've recognized how fragmented our care system is, so being able to better communicate across different health providers, across different health systems. You know, you have the pharmacist in the community, you have the pharmacist in the health system, pharmacist in long-term care. You know, the ability to better communicate, I think, across the different pharmacists, but also with other health providers would be very, very important. Also, do the pharmacists feel that the employers kind of have their backs? You know, do they feel supported? Do they feel, and I would say that in some places they may not feel as supportive as they could. So do our employers really stepping up to take care of their health providers? I think is something that also probably needs to change. And then this idea of, and, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to say this, but you know, the profit motive in healthcare. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do better with if we had, you know, more resources and more reimbursements and those kinds of things to really provide patient care.
So with a task as big as the United States healthcare system, what are the next steps?
We like to use a certain quote. How we look at the financial pressures in healthcare provision, all the burden of documentation that we do in healthcare, the pressure to meet production metrics in our places of practice, and this constant specter of litigation that's over us really distract us from patient-centered care, and it can even lead to conflicts of interest. And so if it happens once in a while, that's one thing, but it's an incessant, intensely just routine drip that we experience. And again, as we talked before, really improving the systems in which we work. And that can be everything from personnel staffing to processes of care, computer systems and technology needing to be updated so they interact and provide information that we need when we need it. That is really an important next step for us to improve and to develop good work environments that we can thrive in. And so we always go back to those quotes. It comes from a National Academy gathering. It's just not pharmacy that's saying this, but all healthcare professions are saying pretty much this same thing. So moving forward, I would echo what Caroline Gaither said in really focusing on our systems of care and employees knowing that their workplace is there to, as she put it, you know, I've got your back. I am here to really help you thrive so we can do what we're called to do.
For this episode of Over the Counter. Check back next week for another expert interview covering the latest news, trends, and innovations in pharmacy. And don't forget to subscribe and share with your pharmacy friends. Thanks for listening.